Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Video Games Now podcast. It's Rodney with Mr. Cole.
Hello, Rodney.
And we're joined by Mr. Bradley as well. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Wait, one quick second. Maybe I'm crazy. Where's the music?
Because I have to put it in after now. Because you may have noticed in previous episodes of the podcast, like the last four episodes, the volume has been absolutely asininely stupid. That's because I was recording on Adobe Audition, so it was like using some sort of algorithm to like predict what levels I need, because it thinks that I'm an unskilled fucking audio engineer. It was just a garbage program. It just made me so mad. But hey, I'm recording back in Pro Tools, and now all these issues are minute, except for the fact that I'm recording on PC, and it's a long story. But yeah, happy times.
I'm sorry, I asked about the music.
Yeah, so no music. I have to put it in after. So if you listen to the podcast...
So none of this is going to make any sense.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyways, yeah, so today we're going to talk about some Star Wars, and we'll review the nominees for Games of the Year. And are you excited to talk today, Bradley?
Hell yeah. Interesting game choices.
You're usually pretty quiet on the podcast, so I'm interested to hear what you have to say. All right, he's done. All right.
I like sitting back and just waiting, listening to people.
All right. Okay, guys, episode's coming up right now. Alrighty, the gaming word of the week is brought to you by Cole's Nards. And
Nards.
How are those Nards, Cole?
Oh. They couldn't get any better. I've almost perfected the Nards.
All right, so...
Almost.
Almost perfected thy Nards. So the gaming word of the week is QQ. Cole.
QQ?
Yeah.
Is it kind of like pew-pew? But...
No, QQ actually refers to World of Warcraft 2, where a player can quit the match by pressing Alt plus Q plus Q. This was a common method to rage quitting the match.
Okay, so we have to somehow put QQ into the podcast?
No. I just like the gaming word of the week.
Okay, this isn't like the challenge.
Yeah, no, this is not like that challenge, because when the hell are you ever going to use QQ in a freaking sentence?
Well, I'm going to QQ out of this challenge now, then.
All right, GG. All right, so let's get on with the episode here. So, Star Wars... Jedi Fallen Order, it was released a couple weeks ago, and we've been neglecting to talk about it because nobody's fucking played it, including me. And
except for me.
Including Bradley. But Cole, thank God you're here to carry this podcast.
Yeah, when I was in the store, I was at GameStop. I brought out my GameStop card and I gave it to him, and it was gold, and he was like, "This is expired," and he dropped me back down to red. That's how long it's been since I've been in a GameStop. But I was there, and I couldn't decide whether or not I wanted to get Pokemon or Jedi Fallen Order, and I knew everybody was going to get Pokemon on this podcast at least, so I was like, I'll go with Fallen Order.
How dare you be different? Actually, I've been struggling to find a COD partner lately because Will and Mark are like too tired to play. So,
oh, I gotta get back into COD. I've just been playing Fallen Order. I also started work again, so I've been redonkulously busy.
Last time I played COD with you, you were
on the other side of the country's made it hard to play.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh my god, I've got so many complaints about COD. I'm glad I wasn't on the Modern Warfare podcast because I would have just been complaining so much about it.
Which Modern Warfare podcast? We've talked about Modern Warfare on every fucking podcast since it's been released.
Really? Oh, well, I've missed every single podcast since it's been released.
Yeah, no, pretty much. I mean, we talk about it here and there, but... yeah, Bradley, I wish we could play together, but, you know, right now it's 8:19 p.m., and for you it's 11:19 p.m., so, you know.
Yeah, it's late.
Yeah, so... If I got home at, you know, a reasonable hour, but I don't because I work in film, right, Cole?
Yeah, actually, I had a pretty short day today, but I start at 4 p.m. tomorrow, so that probably means we're going to go to like 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah. And
it's been fun.
And Bradley, how brutal is your 8-hour shift every day?
I work retail, so it's not horrible, but... It is going to be Black Friday this week, so this week's hell.
Yeah, I bet. And
where do you work? What store?
I work for Old Navy, so I get to deal with people trying on clothes and destroying the store within seconds. Because
does anybody get
that's
trampled?
What they like to
at
do.
Old Navy?
In the States, they had a bit of issues. Like they have crowd control issues because they were giving away 2 years ago. They gave away $1 million on Black Friday, so that caused a little bit of chaos.
Oh my god.
Wow. And,
Old Navy.
And Bradley, don't downplay yourself like, oh, I just work at Old Navy. Bradley's like the assistant manager to the whole store or some shit.
Yeah, fancy title, assistant manager of customer operations.
Ooh. Or are you the assistant to the manager of customer operations?
The manager's cleaning up the real mess and Bradley's getting him coffee.
Yeah, I've been watching The Office lately, so that's fresh on my mind.
Yeah. Hell, assistant manager must be a stressful job, man. I'm with you there.
And you gotta think, I work with, like, teens all the time, so...
God, I hate teens.
That's sometimes
damn
not.
Damn Zoomers.
No offense to anyone that is a teen, I guess.
A Zoomer, I forgot that's a word.
That was on. I've been watching PewDiePie as well, so ripping off PewDiePie for this podcast and The Office. Original content coming to you.
Zoomer. I wonder if the game stores on Black Friday are a little bit less impacted now that you can buy everything online.
That is interesting.
But
you can buy everything online, though. That's the thing, is you can buy, like... all your Old Navy products online. You can buy your groceries online. So I don't think it would necessarily be.
Okay. Do you want to hear pinnacle of lazy? So,
no.
So, you know.
I'm just kidding.
I work at film. I make a decent amount of money. We lived in a house. Cole was in Burnaby for whatever. But anyways, we lived in this house.
That was a nice house.
That didn't have any... didn't have a dishwasher, and my wife and I always fought. Like, every time we did dishes, it didn't matter, like, the system we had or whatever, there was always some sort of fight that brewed, and I got really pissed off, and I'm like, I'm hiring a fucking maid. And she's like, fine, hire a fucking maid. So I hired a fucking maid. So we literally, she came twice a week, and we just, like, pushed all the dishes into the corner, and we're like, the maid will do it, it'll be fine. And yeah, we did that for, like, 4 months, 4 or 5 months, until we actually moved. And then on top of that, we would order our groceries online, and they would, like, deliver our groceries to our door. So it's like we, like, got home. Mind you, I worked on set at that point. So, like, I'd get home after working a 100-hour week and just want to fucking die, curl up in a ball and just rot. So, yeah, Saturdays, we would just, like, sit there all vegetated on the couch, and then our groceries would show up, and they'd be like, great. And then we would, like, go do something, and then our maid would come in and do our dishes and clean the house.
You should have had your maid get your groceries, too. Get your groceries and do the dishes.
We can't afford that, dude. That's too expensive. Fuck. So.
Speaking of doing the dishes, Jedi Fallen Order?
Yeah, I guess we should clean that up, eh? Okay, so Jedi Fallen Order was released a couple weeks ago. And Cole, what are your initial thoughts on the game?
At first when I saw it, I was not super into it. And then some buddies of mine were like, oh, there's some new trailers out. You should watch it. You should check it out. It actually looks like it's going to be good. I watched the trailers and I was like, you know what? This might actually be something more than it just kind of looked, you know, like on the base surface. So I decided to get it. And it's a fun game, but it reminds me of so many other like platforming games that are similar to it. Like it was very much like Darksiders. The second Darksiders, the one where you play as Death. Did you guys ever play that game?
No, I didn't.
No? Bradley, did you ever play that? No? No. It also played like God of War, the new God of War. It reminded me.
That.
Yeah. It reminded me a little bit of that, which is, I mean, high praise because that won Game of the Year, but it was not on the same level. Like it feel like they took all of these ideas from games that they'd like seen before and just kind of mashed it together in a Star Wars universe. So I mean, if you like Star Wars and you enjoyed playing like Darksiders, or it's got a little bit of Dark Souls-esque in it, like it's trying to be like all of these really massively popular games, but I just felt like it kind of fell short a little bit. The worlds are very, you can only go to four planets. There's four planets you can go to, and you can pick which planets you want to go to. They kind of give you a little bit of freedom in that, and I like the fact that it was linear. Like I'm glad it wasn't just like a massive open world. Like they drop you into the story and you get to pick and choose where you want to go in the linear world, and the more you play, the more you unlock more of the world, which was a fun aspect. But then I found myself backtracking a lot, like, and there's no fast travel in the world, so you'd have to go back for one tiny thing, and I'd have to go like all the way up through this maze of a map to try to get one thing to go all the way back to the ship to take off somewhere else. So
that's kind of frustrating. Yeah. I also heard the game is super punishing as well.
I'm playing on the max difficulty, and it's not that it's punishing, but it's like I didn't feel like I was getting better. You know, like when you first start a game and you kind of like struggle and you're trying to figure it out, and then you slowly start to figure it out, and then you feel like you're getting better, and then they make the challenges more difficult. It didn't really feel like that. Like at first, like, you know, I was trying to figure it out. I kind of figured out the character and the mechanics, and then every encounter I went into, I feel like I wasn't getting any better, and I feel like it wasn't getting any more difficult. It was just hard to begin with, and then I kind of figured out how to get past the hardness, but I would still die a bunch. Like it was really, you'd make one little mistake and then that's it. And not in like a creative way. It was just, they would throw three guys at you who auto block everything and all attack at the same time. And then there's just no counter unless you like roll. I don't know. I feel like it could have been a little bit more creative. The enemies are very, very limited. You know, there's only like four enemies on every single planet. And one of the enemies is just a variation of the other enemy. So there's like the blue bad guy and the red bad guy, and then two other guys. So I don't know. I feel like it was like, and even on the planets that you go to, the one variation of the enemy is the exact same as the other variation of the enemy. So I feel like they really could have gone like deep into the creatures of the,
right,
the worlds, but they didn't. There's like there's stormtroopers. There's like 16 different types of stormtroopers, which was, you know, that was more interesting. You know, once you get to, there's two planets that are taken over by stormtroopers, and two planets that just have like alien species on it. So the ones with the stormtroopers are a little bit more fun, but then it gets kind of a pain in the ass where you're trying to go back and just get some collectibles. So you're traversing this massive landscape, and every time you want to save to a point in case. Oh, the other thing too is the character Cal will not listen to you. He, like, I have more footage that I recorded from this game of like me doing everything I'm supposed to do, but then Cal just not grabbing onto the thing that I needed him to grab onto because for no reason whatsoever. Like, it's a game where you have to like slide down a slope, jump off something to grab onto a vine, to swing to another vine, to swing to like a climbing wall. But half the time you slide down the slope, the camera's facing the wrong direction. You fall off the slope. You lose half your health. You got to start back on the slope to get to the end to jump off, to completely miss the rope that you're trying to grab, to lose the other half of your health. And then you start the next encounter with no health. Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, that's frustrating when the controls aren't responsive. 100%. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels like they tried to go, you know, in most games, like if you try to walk off the edge, they put a wall there so that you don't walk off the edge. In this
game, they don't do
you'll
that.
Just no, which is, it's fine. Like, I mean, they're very like, they want to give you unlimited movement, but I felt like it was more hindering than it was helpful at a lot of points, especially at the beginning. Like, I kind of figured it out at the end. And as your confidence grows, the more you fuck up, because you're like, oh, I'm definitely going to grab this rope. Oh, nope. Now I got to go do the whole ropes, the whole sliding portion again. And yeah.
Are you the same? I mean, are you the same as me? Like, when you get frustrated, like, you do it with the first time you play a part, you play it kind of carefully and kind of figure it out, make sure you're doing everything right. And then as soon as you die, you're like, fuck. And then you just try to like speed run through the fucking part to get back to where you were.
No, I take my time. Like, I don't mind taking the time to grind it out. Like, I'll be careful during it. And this game, you can't really run. I mean, you can run through things. There's one level. I can't remember the names. I'm so bad with names. But there's one planet, and it's like a red kind of deserty planet. And they have the Darth Maul species. I don't know what the Darth Maul species are. But those guys live on the planet, the guys with the spikes on their head. And you can go there right away. And that's what I did. I literally beat the tutorial, and you can either go to where the story wants you to go, or you can go to the red desert planet. And I'm like, I'm going to go to the red desert planet. So I went to the red desert planet to get my ass handed to me so hard. But I pushed on and I pushed on, and then I made it to where you couldn't go any further, like where you have to go back to the storyline. Like, the thing that they did really well in the game is that you, the character you play as Cal, you really grow as a Jedi. Like, you start as a Padawan, and the things that you learn and the things that you unlock, they use them really well. And it's like really interesting. Like, you literally feel like a Padawan, and you grow into a Jedi Knight. Like, you learn how to throw your lightsaber, and you learn how to like do a double jump, and a whole bunch, like using, like, you don't start with force push and pull. You have to go and do these like challenges in order to unlock them. So I thought that was a really good thing that they did. But I was on the desert planet, and there was literally like, you couldn't go any further because you needed to know these abilities that I didn't have. But I unlocked the double-sided lightsaber, which I don't think I was supposed to do that early in the game. But I literally beat the tutorial, went and got the double-sided lightsaber, even though I died a ridiculous amount of times. And then I got to play the rest of the game with the double-sided lightsaber, which was fun, because I'm like just in the game right now where I am after like 15 hours of gameplay. I'm just getting to the part where I would have originally unlocked the double-sided lightsaber. So my stubbornness pulled off, but there's no way you could have just run all the way through to get there. Like, you have to do these puzzles while people are shooting at you. So you have to kill everybody in order to do the puzzles, so you can't rush through it. And then if you die, all the enemies respawn and all the puzzles reset. So you have to start back from the beginning. So no matter what, you have to take your time to do everything.
So are the checkpoints kind of generous, or like, if you do a, do you have to complete the whole room and then you get a checkpoint kind of thing?
Yeah, the checkpoints, they're few and far apart, which I thought was kind of funny. Like, there's one point where I'm like, oh, there's a checkpoint here, and then you like jump over something and you're like, there's another checkpoint here. And then there's times where I'm like, okay, this is like getting ridiculous, like, please just give me something. And that was mostly just on the, actually, after I did the Red Desert Planet, I went to play the rest of the game, and it was so easy compared to what I did on the Red Desert Planet. And then I unlocked all the abilities, and then by the time I went back to it, then I actually was equipped to take on the enemies properly, and then it also became kind of easy after that. So, but yes, during certain points where you're just like, I need to get a checkpoint, and there's not one, and there's not one, and there's not one.
Look at us, old school gamers, relying on checkpoints now.
I know.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is difficult. It is a hard game, and there are like some cool, like the combat's really fun. Like the blocking, timing, like attacks are really, like, I think the combat was pretty smooth. I just wish there was more like enemies to try it out on. Like, I think they did really good on the stormtroopers, and then there's these random encounters where bounty hunters will show up and try and like kill you to get the bounty on your head, because the Empire's put out a bounty on your head, but they show up in random locations that you've already been to. So once you beat an area, there's a chance that a bounty hunter crew can show up at that area rather than the regular enemy spawn. And I found myself just like, and the bounty hunters are ridiculously difficult. Like, they're probably one of the hardest, they are, from in my opinion, the hardest enemies in the game. And I would have no resources left, and I would just be trying to backtrack back through a room just to get back to like where I was going, to get ambushed by a bunch of bounty hunters and then get killed.
That's pretty savage.
I went back to the very first map. Like, you can go back to the tutorial world and unlock a whole bunch of new stuff. The more you unlock stuff in the game, you like go back to the tutorial world and like test out the stuff that you've unlocked in like a more safe environment, and then you get a bunch of cool stuff by going back and doing it. Which I think there should have been way more areas, like way more planets. Like, there's only four. I mean, I haven't beaten the game yet. Maybe there's more planets, but so far, what I've been playing, there's only four planets, and one of them is like full on all puzzles, and there's only a few enemies. So, now I lost my train of thought. What was I talking about? Going back to planets, testing stuff out.
The fact there's only four planets.
Yeah, the fact there's only four planets. There was something else, because I went back to the tutorial planet to do something, and I can't remember what that was.
Well, in any case, it sounds like you have some... Oh, how do you feel about the game overall, actually?
If you're a Star Wars fan, they do a good job of like diving into the lore, like unlock a lot of lore, and you do feel like you start as a Padawan and mold into a Jedi. But I think some of the movement mechanics are a little janky, and the difficulty curve is a little bit roller coastery. So you could possibly get frustrated. But I mean, I only play on the hardest difficulty. I don't like I usually play a game once, like especially a single player game. Like, I don't find much replay value unless there's something like that's really hard hitting. So if I'm going to play the game, when I beat the game, I want the achievement for the hardest difficulty. I want it, like, when I beat a game, I want it to be like, ding, 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 ding. I want to get all those achievements all at once. So, when I say that the difficulty curve's pretty crazy, that might just be at the top. Like, if you play on a lower difficulty, it might be less frustrating.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, if you like Star Wars, if you enjoy, like, games like Darksiders or games like, God of War, then this is definitely something to check out. I don't think it was not even close to a caliber of God of War. Yeah. I hear myself. There's an echo.
No, you're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but then you should definitely check it out if you're a Star Wars fan.
Star Wars fans unite. All right. Bradley, anything to add on Star Wars? You've been rather quiet.
I watched a lot of streamers play this game, and they played a lot on medium level, not the hardest difficulty, and they did say that the fighting in the style was punishing. So I don't know if because you're playing on the harder difficulty, you found it a little easier because you were expecting it, where they were like, oh, it's on medium, and they weren't expecting such a hard learning curve. But yeah, there was a few that just got slaughtered. And I will say the boss fights look pretty cool. So I don't know if you have a a take on those boss fights or not.
Playing on the hardest difficulty, the boss fights were a little bit of a grind. You would have to learn their attack patterns, and they would do certain things. But if you'd mess up one time, you'd be dead. So you have to do a perfect run in order to beat the bosses. And the creature bosses, there's like creature bosses, and then there's Jedi fights. So there's times where you fight like big monsters in the world, and there's time where you fight Jedis in the world. I found the monster boss fights were kind of more interesting and more fun and a lot easier. And when you got to the Jedi fights, it was just like you had to be like mathematical with everything you did, or else you would die. It'd be like,
yeah,
you'd have to roll at the right time, you'd have to block at the right time, you'd only have a split second to attack. So yeah, they were pretty fun, but when you get closer to the end of it, you're just sweating bullets, because you're like, it's not really down to any, it's all down to luck, because sometimes they do, I even recorded some of that, sometimes they'll do a lunge attack and they'll just keep going and you'll dodge at the right time, and then they'll just turn and it counts as a hit, and then you're dead. And I was like, all right.
Did you fight the giant flying squirrel thing?
I did fight the giant flying. That was actually a super fun fight. I really enjoyed that. On the red desert planet, there's like this giant bat monster, and
I think it was fucking massive.
That was a weird sequence. You like, after you fight it, it has like a little bit of health left and it crawls away, and then you climb up the side of this cliff and it ends up picking you up, and then you climb on top of its back and stab it and it falls and you free fall, which was really cool. I was like, oh, this is a cool mechanic. But then you have to land on the creature's back, which was so difficult, and it wouldn't like kill you if you missed. It would just restart you back in the air free falling, and then if you miss the creature, it would just start you back in the air free falling, and if you miss the creature, it would just, and it, like, the controllers are so janky, right? Like, he doesn't listen to you. Like, Cal, the character you're playing at, he won't do what you want him to do. He kind of does his own thing. So I was like, all right, grab the creature. Okay, nope, we're going to fall through its face. All right, grab the creature this time. Nope, we're going to fall through one of its wings. Like, I don't know. It could have been a really cool sequence, and parts of it were, but then also parts of it were like, it took me right out of the story, as I'm like, oops, I missed his beak. What's going on? And back to the start of the free falling. And yeah. So I think this was a good kind of like test. It's a good first game. You know, if they were going to make a sequel, which I'm going to guess they are, games like this. Like, I mean, how many God of War games are there? How many Darksiders games are there? How many God of War games are there? This is going to be the Star Wars version of that. So
I was going to say I was going to say, how many Star Wars games are there?
How many Star Wars games are there? This one is a little bit, it's funny. It's unique for a Star Wars game, but they did absolutely nothing new in regards to, I never did anything in the game that I was like, I've never done this before. Like, every single thing that I did, I have done this 100 times in every other game that's exactly the same as this one. The only thing that's the difference is they put a Star Wars skin on it. That's it. All, like, it's like Batman. That's what the thing is. All these games, it's like playing Batman, any of the Arkham games, you know? It's the, you know, the fighting style where you punch, 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 and then you got to press X to stun him with your cape, and then B to jump over him, and it's exactly the same. There was no interesting mechanics, I thought, in the game.
That's like,
okay, yeah. My last question I have, what's better, Baby Yoda or this game?
Oh, I really want to watch The Mandalorian, but I have another thing that probably
poor thing.
Do you know why I haven't watched it? Because I'm angry at Disney. Because in order for them, my opinion on Star Wars, this is what I think Star Wars should do. Star Wars should. It's got this massive universe. And I've been saying this for a long time. I've been saying this since, like, the prequels. It has this massive universe that we know nothing about except for through, like, books and lore. But when it comes to the movies, all we know is the Skywalkers. And I was like, I want to know more. I want to know something different than just the Skywalker trilogy. And they had to mess up the prequels. They had to mess up, they had to mess up the sequels. They had to mess up Solo. They had to get a Boba Fett movie canceled in order to make something new and original, which they should have been doing the entire time. So it took them to kill all of these Star Wars things in order for them to figure it out. So I feel like everybody watching The Mandalorian and loving it is like rewarding them for, you know, shit in the bed.
I just think they have the wrong people in charge of those things, because now they have the same people. Or
John Favreau is in charge of it, man. He's killing, not in a good way, but he's messing up all the Disney movies. I like John Favreau. I really do. I like him a lot, but
it's Kevin Feige that's in charge of Star Wars.
Mm.
Kevin Feige just took over Star Wars after the last movie. So he's him and the other guy. The guys that are doing the MCU are now taking over Star Wars, so they'll be working on a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I mean, that could be interesting. But they need to open up Star Wars to everybody. They need to, like, give Star Wars to...
Well, what they did with people. Marvel. They opened it up. Like, you have a movie about Doctor Strange.
Yeah,
the galaxy, which are bullshit throwaway characters that they made a multi-million dollar movie out of.
That's true, but I mean, it's the same people making it. I want Star Wars to be given to the fans. You know, open up Star Wars to let everybody do it. Like, anybody can make anything they want Star Wars. Like, tell stories in every corner with every, like, species. Tell stories about, you know, like, you just get together with your friends and make Star Wars... story that you can
Star Wars D&D game. Is that kind of what you're hoping for?
No, I want a Star Wars open world where everybody can tell the story. You can just literally tell your own story in the Star Wars universe, but like any filmmaker could do it. It doesn't have to be one person or two people in charge, but like, what if anybody was like, hey, I want to make a Star Wars movie, and then they can make it. You can like raise the money and get the producers and kind of make it yourself. Anybody can do it. That's what I think Star Wars should do. Open it up to everybody. Give back Star Wars. They took so much away from us. Give it back. And they can keep making the movies. Like, that's the thing. Is they can keep making... Star Wars? What's that? They took it away because...
Did have Star Wars?
I think they did.
At the very beginning, and he always had his own vision. Like... He's the one that did the prequel movies. It was his idea, his vision, his creation. I think there may be an illusion that fans had Star Wars, but they really never did.
I will agree with that, but I think there was a point when we could have, like when the original Star Wars came out. So such a revolutionary thing, and then, but there was the right people, yeah, like you said, the right people in charge, and then when the prequels happened, they fully let George Lucas, like watching the behind the scenes for the prequels of Star Wars is hilarious, because George Lucas is like, I want to do this. And all the producers are like, are you freaking insane? And he's like, yeah, I am. And they're like, okay, you're the boss. And then that's what we got. And then they learned from that by giving the second movie to Rian Johnson. It's psychotic.
All right, reeling this podcast in now. Going back to Cole's thing about the steep learning curve of Star Wars, I threw a poll on our Facebook page. How do you like to have the difficulty in a game introduced? Hold My Hand, Daddy, or Steep as Fuck Learning Curve? So let us know what you guys think of that. The poll result from last week was... I'll scroll down and then my internet will take about a year to load the page.
What was it? Was that the question for last week?
No, that's the question for this week. The question for last week... If I can scroll past... Here it is. So, how do you like to see new guns be added to Call of Duty? DLC or free updates? And pretty much everybody, except for, like, one person said free updates. Because, like I said last week, we're paying $80 for a game. Why the fuck should I be buying more guns? Anyways,
did World War II do free updates, or did they do DLC?
No, they did DLC and loot crates. Yeah. I saw. So I'm sure everybody's seen Elon Musk's fucking goddamn disaster piece of a fucking truck. So have you, Cole? You've seen it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've seen it a lot everywhere, and there's like something specific about it that I remember that I totally forgot about it now. I've seen it.
Yeah, so I put on our Facebook page. Somebody comped in two Spartans from Halo with a fucking gun, and it totally looks like a warthog.
That was PewDiePie. PewDiePie did that.
God, it looked so good. Anyways,
yeah.
So let's move on to Game of the Year nominees. So we had a bunch of, we have six nominees for Game of the Year. The first one being Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Bradley, did you play that game, or was that Eric?
That was Eric played that one. Mm. He played it on stream. It looks fun.
It looks super punishing as well.
I wanted to get that, but I didn't want to pay $70 for it or $80 for it.
Yeah, it's kind of like your Dark Souls style game where it's a hard fought by bosses, but once you finally beat them, it's very rewarding.
Right, and it's a samurai-based game, right? So you're using swords and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Swords and robotic arms.
I believe there's like a grappling hook thing too for like stealth sides, so you can grapple up on stuff and get high ground on people.
Right. Cool. We also have Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, which came out last year, but there's been new DLC this year. So I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know if this, like, don't get me wrong, Smash is God, Cole. So before you fucking shit in my mouth. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I don't know if content updates should qualify a game to get Game of the Year, because didn't it win that year? No.
I don't. No, it did win last year, because it came out in December. So it came out so late, I think they classify it. It was not eligible to be nominated in 2018, so therefore it can be eligible in 2019. So I think it's literally just a loophole of how it got nominated. Like, Star Wars could technically, I think, because it came out so late, again, could technically be nominated next year.
Well, yeah, was it Red Dead came out last
Hopefully
year?
Hopefully
right?
not.
Oh yeah, Red Dead.
Red Dead came out last year. Yeah, Red Dead. Last year was Red Dead, Spider-Man, God of War, and God of War won it. Those were like the three games I remember.
And I think there was a Nintendo game one year that came out in like November 28th, and like ended up winning. All right, it's like God. But,
it's like Beck at a Grammy Award.
Yeah,
Glenn Beck. Anyways, so we have Outer Worlds as well. A lot of good stuff I've been hearing.
Oh, I downloaded Outer Worlds, but I haven't played it yet.
Oh, well, damn it.
Because it's free on Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Yes.
Game Pass.
Game Pass.
Thank God. Yeah, like we're just saying, like, why are we paying $80 for games? Like, we're... How many good games came out this year? Like 10, 11, 12 even? So that times... 12 times 8 is 120, so... No, 100 and...
Quick mass, Rodney.
96, sorry, 96. So, yeah. 96... That's $960.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So it's almost $1,000 on games. Or...
How do you work? Yeah?
I said, or you can get the Game Pass for $15 a month. Actually, that actually adds up, too. 15 times 12 is what? Cole, come on, quick math.
Oh my god, quick math.
Well, 15 times 15
well,
is
150. What's that? Like almost $200?
No, it's like, what's be?
What's that? 15 times?
It'd be
10.
$265. So $265 really? A year for Game Pass.
My quick math is terrible.
Well, 15 times 15 is 300. So you just minus 45 from 300.
That's your quick math? Otherwise, 15 times 10 is 150 plus two more 15s, which is 30.
Yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Fuck me. Anyways,
quick maths is what this podcast is getting called.
Quick maths. All right, that'll be the subtitle.
Yeah, I think now you can get it for much cheaper.
$180.
They did that upgrade. Yeah, they did that upgrade that you can get your Xbox Live and Xbox Game Pass and Xbox PC Game Pass all together for one price.
Well, yeah, that's why like I got
a year is $100.
A year it's $100.
I think so. That's why I got the Game Pass. Like, I didn't have the Game Pass for so long, but once they dropped that, I was like, now again, somewhere.
I think that's what's $15. I think if you just get it regularly, it's like $8.99 or some shit. But anyways,
when they joined them together, they made it cheaper. I'm looking it up while you guys we keep talking about Game of the Year.
Yeah, but they did make it cheaper. But yeah, what else do we got? We got
Resident Evil 2.
Oh, I was gonna say I feel so bad because at the beginning of the podcast when I first came on it, all I was doing was hyping and talking about Smash, and then my character that I've been talking about that I wanted to come out for so long came out, and I didn't say anything on any podcast. Banjo-Kazooie, baby, main.
About time.
That's my sidebar is. Banjo-Kazooie, main. Carry on.
Well, we did talk about it on a podcast that you weren't on, so, you know, you got to
thanks for the invite.
Oh, I totally invited you, did it? I can't remember. It was so long ago. But I was talking about how Sakurai was, like, playing himself with, like, two separate hands.
No. Like the Switch controllers? Like, the little ones?
Yeah, the Pro Controller.
No, I didn't see that. Yeah, is he really good?
Yeah, well, he was introducing Banjo-Kazooie, and so he was fighting Donkey Kong and Diddy by himself on a Pro Controller, and then he started, he was showcasing Banjo-Kazooie's moves, so he was Banjo-Kazooie in one hand and then Mario in the other hand, and he was fucking playing himself with two controllers.
That's pretty boss. Yeah, Sakurai, stay crazy.
Totally boss. So... Anyways, so yeah, Resident Evil 2 was also nominated for Game of the Year.
Isn't Resident Evil 2 really old? No, I'm just joking. I know they made a remake.
Yeah, that they did. The other game's called Control from Remedy, or 505 Games. And we were talking about this before the podcast. Has anyone actually heard of this fucking game?
Oh, is Control the one where you go through that facility and everybody's like disappearing? Because if it's not, then I've never heard of Control. But if it is, then I have.
Violates the... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it is, because I'm... Bradley's like, I've never heard of this game. I'm like, neither have I. It came out in August, August 27th, which is like basically the calm before the storm when all the games started getting released. So no wonder
it slipped by. That is the game that I was talking about. Yeah, the one where you're like, go this facility, and it's like a puzzle game, but there's also like some action to it, and there's like some weird stuff going on in this facility, and you got to figure out what it is. It didn't get that high of ratings. It doesn't really look like my style of game. That's why I kind of let it slip by, because I was like, eh.
TechRadar gave it a 4.5 out of 5, and Metacritic gave it an 82%, and 89% people liked the game, apparently.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It didn't get great ratings, but I mean, since it's getting nominated for the Game of the Year, maybe it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Maybe. What game do you think? So that's the six. So it's Control, Death Stranding, Resident Evil 2, Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, Smash, and Outer Worlds. Which one do you think is going to win? Cool. We'll start with you.
Which one do I think is going to win? That's tough, because there's like... You know when you go to the movie theater and there's like a pick which actress is going to win the Academy Award, and then there's the one that you know should win, and then there's the one that you know that everybody's going to pick. So you just have to pick the one that you know everybody else is going to pick.
Oh, you're talking
and then
about,
that gets like 100%.
Right.
Like, you know those games that you play at the beginning? I don't know if that's just in Canada. I don't know if they have that in the States or not.
That's just at Cineplex, I think. It's Time Play is what it's called.
Yeah, the time play. But there's the one where it's like, there's like, this one should win, but I know everybody's just going to pick this one because that's just what people do. They're just like, I know what Spider-Man is. I know Spider-Man didn't win, but that was just my example. So it's like,
it's like Pikachu and Caterpie. Like, who would win in a battle? Everyone's gonna fucking pick Pikachu. Is he gonna pick Pikachu?
Yeah. Even if Caterpie was better, I think Pikachu would stomp Caterpie in the ground. But you know, it's like, with a type advantage. Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's which one do I think is gonna win? Death Stranding, maybe.
I think Death Stranding has a shot, and I also think that Outer Worlds has a shot as well.
I think Outer Worlds is like the underdog. Like, I think if it wins, it would be a surprise. I think people are going to go with something more mainstream or something that had more hype. Like, Outer Worlds didn't really, it had a little bit of hype, but it didn't really stay on the radar, where Death Stranding was, even though a lot of people think the game is not very good. Like, I haven't really seen a positive review for Death Stranding, you know, but it's been in the media's eye for so long as this massive new animated thing that it's going to win just because of its marketing and its notoriety. That's kind of what I think.
Yeah, I think the complete opposite is true for Control, because Bradley and I'm fucking doing a video game podcast, never heard of the fucking game. So maybe that's just me being shitty at keeping up with the video game business, but
But it's not really your type of game either, you know? It's like, that's the thing about being video game, when you're like judging things and you're talking about things. Like, my review of Star Wars is based off of my experience, where I could be completely wrong and you could love the game a lot, but you have to know kind of what my styles of games are and what I like to see in games, where Control is really meh for me. It's probably kind of meh for you too.
Yeah, probably. I'm actually
Control now. Sounds interesting.
Yeah, check it out. It's also good to have people on your team that have an opinion on everything, so you're not all just sitting in a room nodding and agreeing with each other.
Totally. Bradley, what do you think is going to win Game of the Year this year?
What I think is going to win is not the same as you guys. I actually think Resident Evil 2 is going to win.
Really?
Yeah. All the stuff I've seen, like Death Stranding, yeah, it's been in the media, but not even the critics really liked it. I was listening to a few podcasts of the GameStop podcasts, and like they were like, "Oh yeah, it's good, it's interesting, but I don't know, it's not the best game." And then like Resident Evil, everyone was really happy with the nostalgia, but the new gameplay, the new mechanics, the nice fresh look. I think it has a good chance of winning. No, I didn't. I'm not a big Resident Evil fan.
I loved Resident Evil 5. I just missed Resident Evil 4. Like, I was like too young to play it. Like, I had a GameCube and I could have got it, but I was like too young for it. And then I got Resident Evil 5. It was my very first Xbox 360 game, and I loved it. So I mean, if they basically, except for the AI chick, what's her name? Just the AI in the Resident Evils were just horrendous. But I mean, if they had good AI and they kind of made it like Resident Evil 5, then I can't see why anybody wouldn't like it. Like, I mean, it's such a fun game.
Yeah, everyone that I've watched and talked to play it said they loved Resident Evil 2. And the game I want to see win it is Smash.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Do you think that it's like, since it's
Smash would also be like I said, like
Smash has a chance of being a popularity vote. Like,
yeah,
it's Smash. Everyone loves it.
Yeah.
It could win because it's popularity. I just think Resident Evil will win. That's my vote.
All right,
that's your vote.
So the Game Awards are on what?
What
day?
About you, Rodney?
I said Death Stranding or Outer Worlds. Probably gonna win.
Oh, we kind of went more into depth and you just said it, so I thought you were going to go in more into depth on why.
No, I have no basis on my decision. I just fucking picked two at random.
Ah, Rodney. That's why we love you.
So the Game Awards... The Game Awards are on a date that's clearly not on their freaking website. Ugh, super annoying. But how about we just Google it? It'll probably come up, but it's not on their website.
Google it. My Chrome has not been opening. I cannot open Chrome on my computer.
It's Thursday, December 12th. Why is it always on a Thursday? Put it on a Saturday so people could fucking watch it. Fuck's sakes. Anyways, it'll be at 5:30 p.m. on Thursday, December 12th, so that's coming up in a couple weeks here. That is exactly... Okay, it's like 2.5 weeks away, so... we'll wait to see if our predictions are correct, and next time Will's on the podcast, we'll make sure he throws in his guess as well. So
what do we get if we win? What's the victor prize? So I'm going to go with Death Stranding. Bradley went with Resident Evil. Let's just say you go with Outer Worlds because I already went with Death Stranding.
Sure.
What happens? What happens if they win?
You got to buy me an advent calendar, and I don't want no fucking weak advent calendar. I want some high quality, like Lindt chocolate fucking advent calendar.
So the winner has to buy you an advent calendar.
Yeah.
Changing my vote to control.
I'm also changing my vote to control.
Alright, if control wins, you both gotta buy me a fucking Lindt.
We both gotta buy you a Lindt chocolate advent calendar. A Frere Rochelle.
Yeah.
Advent calendar. That thing would be huge.
So you guys heard it. Everybody vote control because I want a fucking advent calendar times two. Because, you know, if I get an advent calendar, I'm only going to get 2 of the 25 fucking chocolates out of there. My wife's going to eat the rest, so.
I started keto for my TV show, so I can't eat any chocolate coming up on Christmas time and Christmas dinner. Yeah, it'll be a sad sack of coal this Christmas.
You picked a really shitty time to do keto, just saying.
I know, but I want to do good on my TV show, so.
Is there, like, some event on your TV show, or, like a challenge on your show?
No, the challenge is that the production manager is really well known in Vancouver and he gets to be a part of huge movies and I want to do more movies with him. So I want to do a good job. I want to impress him. And so I want to stay healthy. And even though I won't be getting much sleep, you know, if I eat better, I won't be as tired. My body will feel more energized and, I'll be working. Less is more.
That's the secret to success in film. Just trick your body into thinking that it's doing fine, even though
it's healthy. Yeah. Trick your body into thinking you're not going to die when you're like in the middle of your life.
Yeah, you've only gotten like 10 hours of sleep all week, and it's Friday. Yeah, it's good times. Yeah. All right, well,
but if I eat this piece of broccoli, it'll all be fine.
Yeah. Why is there no vegan options? Yeah. God, I hate film snobs. Anyways, let's wrap the podcast up. So, yeah, if you guys have played Star Wars, let us know your thoughts on our Facebook page, what you thought of the game, and then also leave your prediction for Game of the Year, because we would love to hear that. Anything else, gentlemen, want to say before we sign off?
I'm good.
I guess not. Thanks for listening, guys.
Oh, and if you guys also guess the right thing for Game of the Year, you also have to buy Rodney an advent calendar.
Yeah. Send them all this way, and while you're at it, leave a review on whatever you listen to the show on, and then jump to our Facebook page and website and let us know your thought of the show. So we look forward to hearing from you, and we'll be back next week. And until then, we'll see you all on the next one. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.